listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Thank you. 101.5 The Hawk. Welcome to this week's entry into the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. And what a variety of hours do we have for you today. We started off there with John Coltrane's My Favorite Things. And then later on we'll have Juan Esquivel, Louis Armstrong, Sammy Davis Jr., David Steinberg is our comedian for tonight. Chick Corea talks a little bit, and then, of course, we have him play. All that on today's episode. Last week, we had a retrospective on the Arabian influences and Arabian jazz itself. And the week before that, if you can recall, or if you were tuned in, you know, sometimes you don't tune in. We had a retrospective on Latin influence in jazz, and there was one artist I wanted to fit in there, but we just ran out of time, and so we couldn't, and that was Juan Garcia Esquivel, a Mexican band leader, a pianist, and composer. He was well known back in the day, in the 60s and 50s, for creating what is now called Space Age Bachelor Pad music. And that should sum it up for you right there. It's this wonderful, I guess back then it would have been really modern, like hyper-modern jazz. And that was kind of the difference from what was happening back in the day. Because this was at the time of the emergence of rock and roll, which generally grabbed off of, you know, blues and the bluegrass music, country music, this lounge music came more from jazz, right? It kind of sits between jazz and muzak in this kind of light middle ground that everybody can enjoy. And I think that Esquivel really played it well. His work was unique, although not incredibly improvised. It is its own style, and he communicates that very well. And so that's why I thought I still wanted to bring him back, even though we didn't have time. And the song that we'll play now is Surfboard, which is an original arrangement by, actually, Antonio Carlos Jobim, which we also featured on that episode. And this is Esquivel's interpretation of it in his classic, I guess, space age bachelor pad style. So here he is, Juan Garcia Esquivel with Surfboard on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you.
lion wants to wait for his pay. A man wants a place in the sun. A man wants a gal proud to say that she becomes his loving wife. He wants a chance to give his kids a better life. Yes. Well, hello, 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 brother. You can travel all around the world and back. You can fly or sail or ride a railroad track. But no matter where you go, you're gonna find that people have the same things on their minds. A man wants to work for his pay. A man wants a place in the sun. A man wants a gal proud to say that she'll become his loving wife. Wants a chance to give his kids a better life. Well, hello, brother. Hello. Yeah, Jerry. Wants a chance to give his kids a better life. Well, hello, hello, brother, hello. I said hello, hello, brother, hello.
No. 101.5 The Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was Louis Armstrong with Hello Brother. And prior to that, we had Juan Esquivel with Surfboard. I'm really excited for the show today because I think we've got some great stuff. I mean, we've already had some great stuff, and it just gets better, really. Up next, we have Yusuf Lateef. There's Sammy Davis Jr. later. And, of course, our comedy, David Steinberg, which is our very own, a Canadian. Straight from Winnipeg, Manitoba, David has been so... He was so popular back in the 70s and late 60s when he started his career. He was on... He's actually... A record he holds is appearing on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson 130 times, which is second only to Bob Hope. That's incredible. And then he did have his own show later on in the 70s as well, the David Steinberg Show. And right now he has a kind of like podcast / show called Earful Comedy, where he interviews a bunch of different comedians and they just talk about their career and, you know, what they get out of their jobs, out of their love for the work they do. And then, of course, yeah, Yusuf Lateef coming up next with Flutie, the musician from Chattanooga who plays a chat arrangement of instruments. He's known for playing the tenor sax, the flute, oboe, bassoon, the bamboo flute, shanai, shofar, koto. He's renowned for being this influence of bringing Eastern flavor to jazz, which is really great. And I think he really stands out because of that. His stuff is pretty incomparable. So without further ado, here is Yusuf Lateef right now on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. You are tuned in to 101.5 The Hawk. Welcome back to the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. That was the Yusuf Latif Quintet with Flutie. And while I was listening to that, I was thinking, you don't hear the flute a lot in jazz, do you? Now, though, you hear it more than you did back in the day. And I feel like every instrument, at some point or another, has had its spotlight in jazz, whether it be through a couple different songs or a couple different musicians that have come to prominence with those instruments. The retrospectives we've done here on the show, you and I, have at least taught me, and I hope you, about a couple different things, such as new styles and stuff we've never heard of, and that's a great benefit of doing this program. Another great benefit of this program is getting to unwind. It's Wednesday, hump day. All right. Yeah. I mean, you can't have the most fun because it's Wednesday. You still got to work tomorrow. But I mean, I guess it's closer to the weekend. And we get to celebrate that with some comedy. So here we have David Steinberg doing a little stand-up from his album, Disguised as a Normal Person, here on 101.5 The Hawk. Sammy Davis Jr. coming up here on 101.5 The Hawk.
From the moment that I was able to talk, I started lying. And from the age of 1 to 16, there was no subject too trivial to lie about that I couldn't soar from. What time is it? I lost my watch. Oh, I didn't really lose my watch. It was stolen. Yeah, I know who stole it. It was Don Kalchuk stole it. We were in gym class at the time, and he was by my locker room, and I saw him by the locker room. He saw me see him, and he took off. I was wearing my sneakers at the time, so I was able to chase him. He got into this cab in front of Miss McCrum's class. I leaped onto the back of the yellow cab. I was holding onto the spare tire. The cab was going 30, 40 miles an hour. I started pounding on the window. I said, "Come on, Kalchuk, you son of a bitch. Give me back my watch." The cab turned the corner on Notre Dame Street. I went flying off the cab. I skinned my knee really badly. You might have noticed I was limping as I came up here. Anyway, I don't have the time, Mrs. Kalchuk. Like that. Now I can't go to school the next day because Kalchuk is waiting for me. Don Kalchuk is a Ukrainian, and his left ear alone is 6'2". All this, and I don't even own a watch. Now I have to tell my parents something because I'm going to skip school the next day. But my parents were intelligent, enlightened people, and they accepted me for exactly what I was, a punishment from God. Now this went on from 1 to 16. When I was about 16, somehow I became converted to the truth. But by now everyone else was lying. And also, new problems faced me. Because now, the last thing that my family wanted to know about me was the truth. I was in university now, and now I was determined to communicate. I would try and explain my lifestyle to them, and that was as simple as explaining alternate side of the street parking to a cranberry. But in a family, you see, we all make adjustments. When I first moved to New York, my mother came to visit me. And I was living with my girlfriend at that time. My mother looked in the closet and saw my girlfriend's clothes. And she went back to California and she chose to tell her neighbors that I was a transvestite. But you know, I think I'm giving you the impression that I think about my mother a lot. I don't think about her that much. I have the occasional dream, as we all do. I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I'm on this gigantic luxury liner. There's no one on board the entire ship except me and my mother. We're in this grand ballroom. We drink seltzer from Jeroboam's. We dance till dawn. I'm 3 and she's 52. We walk to my stateroom, and I'm just about to get her in my crib.
Oh, they say some people long ago were looking for a different tune, one that they could croon as only they can. They only had the rhythm, so they started swaying to and fro. They didn't know just what to use, but this is how the blues really began. This is the way the blues began. They heard the breeze through the trees singing weird melodies, and they named that just the start of the blues. Then from a jail there came a wail, from a down-hearted frail, and they played that as a part of the blues. Now from a whippoorwill sitting high on a hill, through a heart until it was worn.
yeah, rehearsed it, and then gave out the news that the Southland really gave birth to the blues. Mama, we poor will high on the hill. They grabbed the new note and they pushed it to a heart until it was won ahead to a blue note. And then they nursed it, go, rehearsed it, then gave out the news that the Southland gave birth to the blues. Everybody then nursed it, rehearsed it, and gave out the news that old Southland gave birth, the birth to the blues.
One. Oh, 1.5 The Hawk, Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Thank you for staying tuned in if you still are here. If you are gone, please come back. That was Sammy Davis Jr. telling us how the birth of the blues came about. And before that, we had David Steinberg with Lying, talking about his experiences in lying in life. And that's from his comedy album, Disguised as a Normal Person. Plenty of laughs and good times to be had here on the airwaves, coming from the Niagara Escarpment. This, coming up next, I have an interview. Well, actually, it's not really an interview. It's more of a Chick Corea talking to himself. It was part of live streams he did. Actually, very close to his passing. I think he only stopped them a few weeks before he passed away, unfortunately, this year. But it was live streams, him playing music, and then he'd go into anecdotes. And this story talks about the first time he ever met Bill Evans. Now, originally, I had planned to do this setup for our Cinco de Mayo show, because Chick Corea, we did end up playing one of his songs. We couldn't, we didn't have time to play this one, unfortunately. But his influence on Latin is there, and he has been influenced, and he has influenced it. And in this portion, he talks about the impact Bill Evans had on him as a pianist, a jazz pianist, even classically, too. Bill Evans was a renowned musician and jazz composer and player. The Universal Mind of Bill Evans. It's a documentary from 1966. It's on YouTube, and I will share it on my social media. I highly recommend you go watch it. It is wonderful. They say it's a bit dry, but I think if you can really, if you're really into that sort of thing and appreciate the creative process in jazz music and even in musicians, it's really wonderful. It's insightful. You learn a lot in a lot of different ways. And it's really reflective of television, I think, at that time, where it was a mix of, you'd get entertainment, but then there was a lot of educational stuff like this that seemed to come out of the blue. And I'm glad we still have that and we're still able to watch it. At 55 years, it is as true as ever. And I suppose that Chick Corea's anecdote here, I mean, he talks about meeting Bill Evans for the first time, a consequential influence from him, is an extension of what Bill Evans talks about in the documentary. So here we'll have Chick Corea tell a little bit about how he first met Bill Evans.
I'll tell you a little story that I remember that's quite a fond memory for me. In 1959 was the year that I graduated from Chelsea High School. I graduated from high school and in Chelsea, right outside of Boston. And then I moved to New York immediately that fall. And that's where I first, well, actually, that was where I first saw the Miles Davis Quintet with Philly Joe Jones, Paul Chambers, and John Coltrane. But just prior to that, when I was still in high school, there was this famous club in Boston called Storyville, and on the Copley Square, it was in a hotel, and it was the first venue of George Ween, who was the founder of the Newport Jazz Festival. It was this wonderful little club. I heard so many great bands there. And one day in '59, Miles brought that was the year of Kind of Blue, which was the year that All Blues was recorded. And Miles brought his sextet in with John Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley, Paul Chambers was on the bass. They had Jimmy Cobb on the drums. And, you know, this strange-looking, clerical-looking guy with horn-rimmed glasses was at the piano. And at the time, I was very disappointed because I was hoping to see my hero, Wynton Kelly. And I didn't hear the piano at all that day. I was just focused on Jimmy Cobb, watching Jimmy Cobb and Miles and Train. We were in the first row, me and my buddy. Miles and Train were right in front of us, Cannonball. Wow. An incredible memory. Thank you.
This is 101.5 The Hawk's Johnny Athens Variety Hour. And that was Chick Corea with Waltz for Bill Evans. Very nice tune, and so reminiscent of Bill and his style, but also emphasizing Chick Corea's influence on the medium and his flair. Well, that is my influence on radio and your life for this week. That is all for the program, and I thank you for tuning in once again, my friend. I hope to see you back here next week. Special thanks to Marie Cassidy, of course, Chick Corea, Bill Evans, I suppose, David Steinberg, Louis Armstrong, John Coltrane, and all the other. We had a big variety of artists this week, all the other artists that joined us, and especially you for listening. If you want to stay in touch and stay in tune with the program offline, or off-air, you can check Instagram, johnny.athens, or Facebook at johnny.athensentertainment. To play us out this week, we have Five Spot After Dark by Curtis Fuller here on 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you. Good night.